As Mr. Field is unable to be with us, Mr. Austin has kindly agreed to take his place. May the Lord be with him. Let us now commence with hymn 676. 676. Oh, could I lift this heart of mine above these creature things, I'd fly and leave this world below as though on eagle's wings. Hymn 676.
May we be helped to read in the Holy Word of God from the book of the prophet Hosea, reading the first two chapters. The prophecy of Hosea, reading chapters 1 and 2. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again, and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, Call his name Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, pleads with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, These are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgat me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me for ever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us each and grant us true prayer. O thou great and sovereign and eternal Lord God, thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, we pray unto thee as poor sinners of the dust, as those who are mortal, weak, frail, but we would take hold of thy strength, and we would seek that grace even to approach unto thy heavenly footstool, yea, to come boldly unto a throne of grace, to obtain mercy, and to find grace to help in this our time of need. And again we must plead with thee for that much-needed help to come, for we cannot take one step to come unto thee of ourselves, but only as thy Holy Spirit doth compel us, only as we are so enabled to come by that new and living way. And how can a poor sinner come unto the thrice holy God? Truly, were it not for thy provision, the thing would be impossible. But blessed be God, that which is impossible with men is possible with God. And it is through the Mediator, through the glorious Saviour, through the one God, in three persons, and by the dear Son, who help us to come, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. He hath said that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But oh, we would come. We would come by him, pleading his merits, his shed blood, and through him, the intercessor, our great high priest, even before the throne of God. O bow down thine ear, and hear us speedily, for thy mercy's sake. And we would, nonetheless, despite our shortcomings, despite our sense of unworthiness, we would come with thanksgiving that at least we are found upon praying ground, that at least we are found within thine earthly courts, among the gathering of thy people. And we would seek to acknowledge thy goodness in keeping us, and sparing us once more to be found in this house of prayer. And it is, O Lord, upon our hearts to pray unto thee for the one whom we had hoped might have been here this day, thy dear servant, one who hath laboured many years in the preaching of the gospel. And we would bring him unto thee in this time of affliction. We desire that thou mightest grant him, even on this Lord's Day, the solace of thy comfort, that thou wilt be with him, and be with his dear flock, be with his dear one also, and grant him, if it could please thee, a restoring of health and strength, that he might soon be enabled once more to stand before thy people, to feed the flock of God, and to be of much profit to others of thy dear ones also. We pray, if it be according to thy will, that thou wilt suffer him and enable him to be found among thy people here, in those mutual bonds of gospel affection. And we think of others of thy servants who are laid aside, and our friend at Fenstanton. And we pray that thou wilt be with him in his continued affliction, with his dear one and with that church and people. Now do grant much help and direction in this their time of need. And we may perhaps, many of us, think of others who are sick, knowing very much the frailty of the body, knowing affliction and what it is to be laid aside. We think also of those who sorrow, those with heavy burdens, those with not only the outward afflictions, but the inward ones also, the bereaved, and those who bear that grief. But oh, do draw nigh unto such. May they know thee, the eternal God, their refuge, and underneath the everlasting arms. And, O Lord, thou knowest how many of us need often to plead that promise, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And do help us to take recourse to thy promises, yea, thy exceeding great and precious promises. And do help us even so to be enabled to rather glory in our infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. And we do think of thy people, thy congregations, thy little flocks up and down the land, and those who have met this day, and perhaps others like ourselves gathered in the evening hour. But do stand by thy servants, do grant them strength, do grant them gospel liberty, and may they be as those who stand upon the walls of Zion and blow the gospel trumpet. And may that trumpet not give an uncertain sound, but we pray that thy word might have free course and be glorified, that it might go forth being preached in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And we must pray also for the hearing ear, for those who shall seek to hear a token for good, a word to revive, some encouragement, some assurance in the things of the gospel. And we desire that there may be good ground prepared of thee. For alas, we know in ourselves that unless thou dost give that preparation, unless thou dost break up the fallow ground of the heart, there shall be no true receiving of thy word. But O condescend to us, come to us in mercy, and grant us that broken and contrite heart. For these things thou wilt not despise, and do grant us to be brought low. Grant us true humility. Grant us, like godly Job of old, that we might say, "Lo, I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." But then do grant a view of the dear Saviour. And, O Lord, we would desire by faith to view thee afresh, thou who didst live and suffer and sorrow and bleed and die for thy people's redemption. And we do bless thee for that word, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And truly, when faith gets a sight of Calvary, it is a beholding of the Lamb of God's provision, and to see something of that most precious blood, the blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And these things shall do the soul good. For we read, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And that is what we desire, the cleansing, the washing, the pardon, the remission of sins. And to make good that ancient promise, "Thou wilt subdue their iniquities, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Grant it even to ourselves. Grant it to be true of us. As far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed our transgressions from us. And do teach us afresh concerning the empty tomb. Grant us to view the Saviour's finished work. And grant us to know that he is the one that liveth, and was dead, and behold, is alive for evermore. Amen. And hath the keys of death and of hell. And truly we desire to see such an exalted Saviour. All power is given unto me, in heaven and in earth. One who hath been made the head of all principality and power, and one to whom is given that name, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And may it be true in our experience, that cry of thy dear church, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And how we desire to know such a King of kings and a Lord of lords. And how we desire that captain to be our salvation. For we need so greatly one to stand up for us, one to fight our battles, one to stretch forth his hand, one who is mighty to save. And oh, do be with thy dear people, even in these present days. And we think of the young and rising generation, and those young ones here this evening, and others doubtless at home. But we do think of them growing up in the midst of a wicked and an ungodly society. And what a need there is for thee to keep them, to hedge them about. And we would think of the labours this day in the Sabbath school. Oh, do seal those things that have been taught. Seal them to many hearts, and grant them to be as seed sown. And we know not when it might germinate. We know not when there may be the fruit, the evidence, the harvest. But oh, do bless the seed, for it is the seed we trust of thy word, thy word which endureth forever. And do bless those younger friends, those in adolescence, those growing up into adulthood. And what a need there is oft times for thy direction, for thy guidance, for thy wisdom. And we think of Daniel of old and his three companions, and how thou didst so undertake for them in their various trials in Babylon. And is it not so even today? Those who have perhaps put on an open profession, as they did, and thou must walk it out before a watching world. I do be with them, and leave them not, and grant them that word, to trust in the Lord with all their heart, to lean not unto their own understanding, in all their ways to acknowledge thee, that thou shalt direct their paths. And grant help to those in the mid-time of life, those who bear the burden and heat of the day, indeed many burdens, many responsibilities, the care and upbringing of families. Oh, how much cause there is to cry unto thee for help, and how we oft times have to bow the knee and cry for thy deliverances. But O, do give that strength that is so needed, and grant help especially in these deep waters in which many of thy people are called to pass. And we think of those in later years, and do be with those also, And if there is a declining of physical strength, may it not be a declining of spiritual strength, but may it ever be, as we read in thy word, as one that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved. Know to lean upon a precious Lord Jesus Christ, as we are increasingly taught our own weakness, our own frailty, our own inability. And do grant that there might be those tokens for good, and go before each one in their pathway. And O Lord, thou knowest the state and case of each one here, found within these walls this night. And we ourselves cannot know these things, for man can only look on the outward appearance, and it is for thee to look upon the heart. But it is our desire that thou wouldest fit the word, and make it sweet, and make it mighty, and make it profitable to them that hear. We would bring before thee the needs of this church and people. Thou knowest how we have been conversing with the dear friends earlier, speaking of things both many years ago, and also speaking of our hopes and aspirations for those things that might yet be, if thou the Lord shouldest tarry. But oh, how we come to this conclusion, that we must leave all in thy gracious hands. And we would, as ever, seek to raise an Ebenezer, and to say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and hitherto hast thou the Lord helped this people, and the dear deacons here, and the church, and how over many years thou hast been favourable to those who have come and preached the gospel in this place. But O do help us to commit these things to thee. We pray that thou wilt remember this people for good. And we are also minded to think of our dear friends who laboured here on the past Friday evening. And we pray that thou wilt help him as he ministers, we trust, this evening at Sybil Headingham. And do bless the word. Grant us to remember it. And grant us to hide thy word in thy heart, in our heart, that we might not sin against thee. O Lord, hear the many cries and petitions of thy dear waiting, hoping, trusting people in this place, and bring forth thy dead elect. Have mercy to them that are without, whom thou hast yet purposed, if it be thy will, to bring. And it is our longing that there may be such, those whom thou shalt constrain. And even as we were speaking with the friends earlier, concerning a matter of damage done to the building, yet it comes to our mind how sometimes thou canst make the conscience to prick, how thou canst cause these things to be remembered. And it is for thee by the Spirit, and so bring about that working, that even an oppressor may be brought to bow the knee, that even a persecutor may be brought into humble subjection to the King of Kings, that even a Saul of Tarsus may be arrested upon the Damascus Road and become an Apostle Paul. Oh, have mercy, we pray. This is all we can plead, but look down from heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive, and forgive us our folly, forgive us our feeble and few desires. But O bless, for thy name's sake, and for the lifting up of Jesus on high. For we seek these mercies in and through his dear name, and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. Hymn 759.
May the Lord be pleased to guide our thoughts and our meditation upon his own holy word. As we turn especially to one verse in the second chapter of the book of the prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter 2, and words found in verse 15. But we shall read again verses 14 and 15 of this second chapter. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Well, especially the words that are upon our heart and those at the opening of verse 15. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. It is helpful to us that we have, in the very first verse of this prophecy, the history and the time frame in which Hosea prophesied. Notice as well that it is said that the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea came in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Some of the Old Testament prophets ministered perhaps exclusively to the southern kingdom of Judah, and others were more associated with the northern kingdom of Israel. But Hosea seems to stand between the two. And you will remember how that the Lord particularly worked his purposes through the southern kingdom of Judah. That place, Jerusalem, where he had chosen to set his name and his honour. And although Judah did at length go into captivity, yet she was kept for longer. She had godly kings, some of them mentioned in this first verse. And after the 70 years of the captivity, she was restored to the land of Judea. Whereas Israel in the north had no godly kings, none there after the time of the division following the reign of King Solomon. And when Israel went into captivity at the hands of the Assyrians, there was to be no return afterwards. Doubtless the Lord had his purpose towards individuals from that northern kingdom. But there was no national return, as in the south. And we have little traces of this, even in these chapters that we read. Notice, for instance, what we read in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1. God said, following the birth of the second child, to Hosea, God said, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Indeed, a prophecy of what he would do when that people was removed from the land. But notice what he then says in verse 7. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. There is a distinction. He says, I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God. Is there not much of the gospel in these words? Israel, left to her idolatry, left to her wickedness. And we know, if we are rightly taught of God, that of ourselves, in our natural state, unless God does intervene, unless God does stretch forth his hand toward us, we shall be spiritually in a similar condition, left to our idolatry, left to our ungodliness, left to our pride, left to our self-reliance. And this word, I will utterly take them away. And solemnly we know from the word of God that there is that end to be finally, eternally separated from the goodness of God, to be banished from the influence of his mercy, to be condemned to an eternity in the flames of hell, that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the flame is not quenched, where their worm dieth not. And the Lord's people are brought to this point, to know, being convicted of sin, that that is our desert, that that is what justice shall and must mete out to us, unless mercy is to be found. These things are very solemn, and there is a teaching in them concerning the reality of our sin. And again, the natural man would seek to deny it. We would shrink from such things. But the Lord must bring us to know that exceeding sinfulness, the hatefulness of sin in his sight. But there is the mercy. I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God. And if we are so taught concerning sin, and our sinnership personally, is it not our hope that this is the step towards being made a recipient of such mercy? And all so undeserved, all so unmerited. And notice what he says, that he will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. Because the flesh would seek to save itself. The man who is yet to be taught concerning these things will seek to put forth his good deeds, his religious performances. He will seek to put forth some kind of merit, perhaps in comparison with others. And alas, we know ourselves how the flesh would work in this way. But it is not God's way, because, as another prophet exclaimed, salvation is of the Lord, salvation is of Jehovah. And so it is not our deeds, it is not our performances, not even in religious things. For it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. And he says, I will have mercy, and I will save them by the Lord their God. Well then, this salvation. And we have spoken of a distinction, in this case between Judah and Israel. But notice what we read a little later on in chapter 1. Just after we have heard these very solemn words, for instance, in verse 9, again, a son given to the prophet, and God says, call his name, Lo, am I, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. You will know how all through the Old Testament, in the prophets, there is this enduring promise that they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But now we read what seems to be the reversal of that. Ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. And how sad and solemn to the exercised child of God. But then immediately afterwards, again a gospel promise. And does this remind you of what God said to Abraham of old, when he said that he would make his descendants to be as the sand that is by the seashore, innumerable? Verse 10 of chapter 1. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. And as a part of the gospel, there is this union. Verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. They shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. The gospel day, a great day indeed. And as we read elsewhere, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel has this very effect to undo the dire effects of human sin. In chapter 2, in the first verse, say ye unto your brethren, Am I, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. These names, now without that little prefix, the Lo, which of course means now a people that are called by his name, that they are my people, and a people who have now obtained mercy. And I am sure you will know that when we come to the end of chapter 2, we have these verses that are quoted especially by Peter and Paul in the New Testament. Verse 23, And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God. And in each case, albeit in slightly different ways, Peter writing to the Gentile believers who have been scattered abroad, and the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans concerning the bringing in of the Gentiles. But still, the same principle, those who had been outside God's favour, in one case outside of the covenants of promise, and yet now brought in, and those that had been strangers to the effects of the promises, though perhaps of the Jewish nation themselves, but now brought into the reality of being a chosen people, those who had been called out of darkness into his marvellous light. Well, all these things of the gospel, as we say, reversing the effects of human sin. But when we come to our text, especially these words in verse 15 of chapter 2, again, the prophet is speaking, as we might say, historically. He seems to be speaking in terms of Israel. And again, it perhaps embraces both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah. But he is harking back to an earlier time. Verse 14, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her." And in verse 15, "I will give her the valley of Achor for a door of hope." Now, as you will have realized when we read this very solemn second chapter, the Lord is dealing, by way of a picture, concerning Israel and her idolatries. There is this picture of the mother who has played the harlot. And it seems very clearly to speak to us concerning idolatry more generally. We know that Israel, the northern kingdom, and to a lesser extent Judah, were subject to these things, susceptible to the sin of idolatry. But things seem to be laid bare here. There are just some details that came to us very forcefully. Verse 5 of chapter 2. "Their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." But what does the Lord say a little later on in verse 8? He says, "She did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal." And he says, "Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness." Well, I'm sure you see what is taking place. She, Israel, had thought and had said that her lovers, those whom she followed, her idols, had given her these things. And we are reading of some of the necessary things of life, and perhaps some of its dainties also. But she says, "I will go after my lovers, that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax." But the Lord says that in fact, it is he who has given her these things, and who continues to do so. She, he says, did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil. Well, does this not lie at the heart of the sin of idolatry? Because just in this outward sense, where we see men and women across the world serving actual physical idols, it is a robbing God of his glory for his provision. We know that all things are of God, for they can come from none else. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. So how sad and solemn to ascribe the provision of these things to others. But we may come closer to home, and we are not suggesting that we bow down to idols of gold and silver, to stocks and stones. But remember how more than once the Apostle Paul speaks of the sin of covetousness. And what does he say? Covetousness, which is idolatry. And that a covetous man is an idolater. And alas, how prone we are to covetousness. And thus, by implication, there is idolatry in these things. And we may readily understand why it is the case. If we covet something, if our hearts are taken up with some possession or the desire for some possession, then we are, in a way, and a very real way, denying God's providence, that it is God who shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that it is God who performeth all things for us. We are perhaps even denying that blessed and beloved truth, that all things work together for good to them that love God. And so in these things that vex our hearts, these weights, this sin which so easily besets us, alas, we find ourselves guilty of such idolatry. And the Lord says, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax. Because the Lord will not leave his people in this state. And this is really the thrust of all that we have before us in the words of our text. And indeed, in much of this second chapter. Because whereas the Lord has spoken of what he will do to Israel, the nation, and we have solemnly seen there an indication of the state of those who are outside of the election of God, yet he is also speaking of his own people, whom he will and must bring back. And so he deals with her. Verse 11, I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And it comes to us that really we must personally be stripped of all these false confidences, and even, or perhaps certainly, of our falseness in religion. These outward observances, and they are good and proper in themselves, but only if they are done from a renewed heart, and a heart that isn't beclouded, we could say benighted, by idolatry. And alas, such was the case with Israel. And alas, how often it is the case with the Lord's people and with ourselves also. And so these things must be stripped away. This outward formality of which she evidently was guilty. So he says, I will cause all her mirth to cease. Yea, her feast days, her new moons and her Sabbaths and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. Well, what a great work is needed. And alas, we must say, the more we consider these things, what a great work we feel personally is needed in our own soul. But he will deal with his child. And whereas many of these things are very severe, and at times there are the reproofs, at times there is the chastisement, but at length the Lord will bring his child very gently. Verse 14, therefore behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. We mentioned the historical reference. You will know that when Israel was brought out of Egypt out of that land of bondage and servitude. She was brought into the wilderness. And we are not now thinking so much of what took place beneath Mount Sinai, the giving of the law and conviction under it, although that is needful and that is included. But we are speaking of being brought into a barren place, and there God's provision will be made known. And what of the Valley of Achor? Well, the connection is, again, historical. I'm sure many of you will be familiar with the account in Joshua chapter 7. That man, Achan, and his sin. Well, there had been the conquest of Jericho, as we read in chapter 6. And following that, a lesser city of Ai, that must be taken. But we read that, surprisingly, there is a defeat at Ai. And surprising because of the numbers of men involved. And Joshua, leading the people in the conquest, we read, rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face. And as you could read in that chapter, the Lord had to speak to Joshua and say, Israel hath sinned and hath transgressed my covenant. And the matter, of course, was this, that Achan had taken of the spoils of Babylon, of the spoils of Jericho, a goodly Babylonish garment, and the silver and the wedge of gold. He says, when he comes to admit his sin, that he coveted them and took them. And you will remember how he hid them in the midst of the tent, in the earth. And that very sad account ends like this. Joshua saying to this man, Achan, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And we read that he was stoned with stones, and he and his family were stoned and burned. And how there was a great heap of stones raised over them. And the comment right at the end of that chapter is that the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor, that is, trouble, unto this day. Well, the important points there are that sin had to be discovered. And it was only after Achan had been dealt with that Ai, that city, could be taken. And there had to be that confession. And there had to be the punishment. Well, these are solemn things. But there is something else about the Valley of Achor. And it is to do with its position. Because after Joshua and the Israelites had taken the city of Ai, they could then continue with the conquest of the whole land of Canaan. And the pattern was that they conquered both to the south and to the north. And this is why we believe it is spoken of here in our text, the Valley of Achor, being a door of hope. Because literally, the valley in the land was a door to the remainder of Canaan. And so he says that he will bring her back. It is a remembrance of former mercies. He will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. He will give her her vineyards from thence. And he says, the Valley of Achor, for a door of hope. Well, I trust we might be enabled to see some of the gospel arguments and reasoning in these things. Because as we say, the Lord's people oftentimes likewise need to be brought back. Perhaps that recollection of the Lord's former goodness when we were first illuminated, when we first tasted of the grace of God. And there must needs be a remembrance how that we were brought, perhaps feelingly so, out of the bondage of the law that hard taskmaster, how we, like the Israelites of old, were made to cry out under it, knowing that we could not meet its demands. But the Lord brought us out and into gospel liberty. And these things will always be a kind of wilderness, because, especially at the first, the saint of God must be stripped of any pretended merits, of any performances of their own, any good deeds or works. And that will seem like a wilderness. But then when Christ is revealed, it is a giving her of her vineyards from thence. Christ, who is the true vine. And in that passage in John 15, we do need to learn the reality of it, do we not? Without me, apart from me, separated from me, ye can do nothing. And just as at times, we need to be brought back to a remembrance of those former days, as the Hebrew believers were. So likewise, when the Lord speaks to Israel and says, I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of home. Well, is it not very often what we stand in need of? Well, of course, it is twofold. The valley of Achor, the valley of trouble. And just as in these chapters, especially the second chapter, if the Lord is to uncover our idolatry, our covetousness, our faithlessness, our backslidings, our wanderings, well, that is not a pleasant thing, is it? It is not something that itself makes our hearts to rejoice. It comes into that category of the nevertheless afterwards in Hebrews chapter 12. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And it is nevertheless afterward that it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. But oh, we do need to be brought from time to time into the wilderness, those recollections, and also the present sense of it, and to be brought to that place where sin is uncovered. Yes, our sins. And perhaps the Lord needs to teach us and to make things plain to our sight that we had overlooked. But we must be brought there. But again, it is a place that has a prospect, just as that valley in Israel of old had the prospect of the whole land opening up to the left hand and to the right. So spiritually in the gospel, the valley of Achor, yes, perhaps a bitter, hard place, but given for a door of hope. And the very centre of the gospel is found in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why Calvary is such a sweet place to the saint of God, because it is in our deepest trouble, our sinnership, when we are brought to see our great transgressions, our pollution, our defilement. Think of the picture that is found in this chapter and the very solemn things that are said, particularly early on. Well, when we are brought into this state, it is now to have this prospect through a dear Saviour who himself, though holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners, yet condescended to eat and to drink with sinners, to receive them. And at Calvary, that sin is put away, all the sins of his church, all their transgressions, all their iniquities. The one who hath put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And we see in it the blessed hope. We think of Canaan and its fruits, the land flowing with milk and honey, and all the other things that were said of it in promise. But we think of the land as being a type and a picture of the blessings of the gospel that are all bound up in Jesus Christ and through faith in his name. And in the cross of Calvary, there is the preaching of peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And it is as though being brought into this valley, well, the door of hope is given, the prospect of the land, those gospel dainties. And I suppose we think of peace especially, because that is what the child of God so needs. That is what he or she so desires. Once at enmity with God, once alienated. But it is for the rebel to be brought nigh. As the Apostle Paul writes, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not perhaps wishing to dwell over much on this, if such were possible, but earlier in the day, with the friends at Great Yildon, singing the 158th hymn, may I sit forever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood, precious drops my soul bedewing, plead and claim my peace with God. And again, it is that peace that brings all the other benefits, all the other blessings of the gospel. Because there is the pardon, there is the forgiveness of sins, there is the washing and the cleansing, and then there is the clothing, the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness. And there is the healing. It did seem very striking earlier, listening to the singing of that hymn. Oil and wine to heal and cherish, Jesus still to Israel gives. Nor shall e'er a sinner perish, who in his dear name believes. And there is in these things a rejoicing, that love of God shed abroad in the heart. And when we are granted from time to time to taste of the mercy of God in the Lord Jesus, it does melt our heart, does it not? But does it not also cause us to rejoice? And notice what we read in the second half of our verse. Verse 15, and she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Well, we read of Israel singing when they had been brought through the Red Sea. And we read later in Scripture of the song of Moses and of the Lamb. But is it not a new song? Put in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And when there is such a deliverance, well, the child of God must see. One mentioned earlier in prayer, perhaps in the vestry, the dumb being made to speak. And again, how true it is, when the mercy of God and a precious Lord Jesus Christ is truly tasted in the soul, It does make the heart rejoice. And the heart rejoicing must sing. And there must be that praise brought forth. And not least, because of communion, fellowship restored. That word from Zephaniah comes to mind. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Note what is spoken here. The Lord himself rejoicing. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And no wonder that when these things are known, and we read, did we not, in this passage in Hosea, at that day, several times the expression came up. And whenever we read about something happening at that day or in that day, well, we think firstly of the gospel day. And sometimes perhaps it refers to the day of judgment. But we must firstly think of the benefits of the gospel. At that day, saith the Lord, thou shalt call me Ishai, that is, husband, and shalt call me no more Baalai, Lord. Which means, of course, that God, and God in Christ, is addressed not in the way that we would address, well, in this case, the false gods, the Baalim, but those to whom the people had been in bondage, those whom they served as slaves. But this is very different. The Lord who is an husband to his people. And so he says, thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Baalai. Well, of course, we know that there is a separate doctrine concerning the blessedness of being able to call Jesus Lord. But here, it is the familiarity. It is like that filial fear. It is the personal relationship. And it is granted by the Spirit. Well, this mercy. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And it must be so, surely, because when the Lord so deals with his dear child, well, there may be the reproof, there may be the chastisement, but the rod is in love, not in anger. I'm sure those words will spring to mind. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And if in mercy the Lord deigns, condescends, in love to so speak comfortably with such as ourselves, even in all our felt unworthiness, and our felt backslidings, in our dullness, in our deadness, and if he so deals with us in this way, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of home. Then shall it not bring forth, even from our hearts, a song of praise, and perhaps, yes, a recollection of former mercies. But she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Know that we may thus be favoured and brought out of that bondage, brought out from the things of the old nature, brought out from our legality, and brought into that liberty, yea, to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made his people free, and in mercy to be brought out, and not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, but oh, to be brought into all the blessings that are the Lord's people through our precious Lord Jesus, yea, the oil and wine of the gospel, all its dainties, the bread of life, the water to quench our thirst, and eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the Lord bless his words. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Pickett. Mr. Graham Cottingham is expected to preach at our Harvest Thanksgiving services on Saturday at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And Mr. Gerald Buss is engaged to preach next Lord's Day, the evening service being at 6 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 550. 550. My soul, rejoice and sing thy Father's glorious praise, and let his precious love employ thee all thy days. Proclaim with honour to his name that God is love and still the same. Hymn 550.
Gracious Lord, indeed grant it to us each, that thou might be our all in all, that we might have everything we need in thee and from thee. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.